The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was and wherever he went. Into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord.
Lord, we pray that we might be not sheep without a shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in a time of cultural shifts. We see ourselves differently because of the pandemic. We are now people of Zoom. The iPhone is still changing us. It came out in 2007. It seems it's been with us forever. I'm still reeling when I see how it changed how we see and share the world. Most cameras are obsolete. Home phone? Mine, only the number exists. I've all calls forwarded to my, you guessed it, iPhone. I won't get much into the cultural shifts in our nation, except to say the world sees us differently. We have to find new ways to distinguish ourselves if we are to be perceived as special. We no longer are seen as the most stable and reliable democracy. We no longer have the most stable transitions of power. God is speaking to David in a similar time in our reading from the second book of Samuel. The prophet Nathan prophesied to King David in the reading, and there are really three great shifts Nathan speaks about. First, there was the shift away from the nomadic life. Neither Abraham nor Isaac, Jacob, or Moses had had a place where they resided or lived for long. One of the most ancient creeds in the Old Testament begins, "A wandering Aramean was my father." The people had seen themselves as wanderers. The wandering life fit when the Hebrew people were a few shepherd families, but once they were in Egypt, they grew in number, and as slaves, they learned other trades besides shepherding. And after they were set free, they had to wander for 40 years. But that was wandering was understood to be punishment. No wonder the wandering lifestyle lost its appeal. The people begged for a homeland. They wanted to be like their neighbors. So God changed God's mind, and they entered into a promised land. The second huge shift in thinking was about how God would lead Israel. God had led the people through the wilderness to the Promised Land. Once they entered the Promised Land, judges ruled under the Lord. The judges were men and at least one woman who ruled under God. This setup was intentional. The judges were not kings. If anyone would be king, it would be God. The people continued to compare themselves to their neighbors, and their neighbors all had kings. For a long time, God was staunchly against the idea of having Israel earthly kings. Wouldn't a king disrupt God being the shepherd in chief? The people didn't give up asking for a king. They were heard by God, who changed God's mind. God gave the people their first king, Saul, but he went crazy. He was followed by David, a boy chosen by the prophet Samuel, even while Saul still reigned as king. Would it take a civil war for each new king to replace the one before? Today's lesson answers that. There would be a smooth transition of power because all successors would be descendants of David, and the line of kings would endure on the throne forever. The kingdom had an established monarchy, and David would sing out songs like the 23rd Psalm, insisting that the Lord is my shepherd. Once the issue of king was decided, that left a third question. The people were given a homeland and a king, but God had nowhere to lay God's head, so to speak. God remained a nomad. The most important symbol of God as a nomad was the tabernacle, God's tent. The tabernacling God had been a symbol of a real connection to the people. God went where the people went. The tabernacle also was why Israel saw their God as the only God. Not being tied to a place, the Lord was God everywhere. All of this meant little to the people when they compared themselves to their neighbors who had lavish temples for their gods. Again, the people cried to God, and God changed God's mind. The people could build the temple. Oh yeah, but wait. At first, Nathan told David to do what he wanted in that regard, but then the prophet corrected himself, saying, "Thus says the Lord, Solomon would build it." Perhaps God had perspective we lack. I look at the cries of the people and see a threat to monotheism. Doesn't a temple tie down God to a place similar to how an idol does? Isn't it in some ways like the golden calf? Apparently not, but trouble was brewing. What the prophet Nathan didn't mention was that Solomon, who was wise and just in some ways, was anything but wise or just when he built the temple. The temple was built with heavy taxes Solomon levied, causing great hardship for the people. It was also built by the enslavement of Solomon's own people. Solomon and his dysfunctional system created fissures that, when he was gone, fractured the nation. The country of Israel split after his death into Israel, the northern kingdom, and Judah, the southern kingdom. Israel was carried off in the 8th century before Christ, during the Assyrian exile, and all the people who were lost to a diaspora or assimilated, never to return. Judah was carried off 135 years later in the 6th century BC in the Babylonian exile. They found God was with them, even in this strange place. They found they could retain their identity and sing the Lord's song in a foreign land until they returned to their land after 67 years. That's 3 generations. Would the church survive 3 generations without its support? We have seen that God changed God's mind about the people settling down and putting the nomadic life behind them, about having a king as ruler instead of judges and instead of God, about having a temple instead of a tabernacle. These changes came at the request of people, and God gave in to their persistent cries. Did those shifting cultures last? Regarding God living in the temple, that focus was lost for a while when the temple was destroyed during the exile when Judah was in Babylon. But the focus returned when it was rebuilt after the exile ended. The temple focus did not last long in the Christian period. The Romans destroyed the second temple in 70 CE, and it was never to be rebuilt. 2 groups of people had to deal with this. Judaism dealt with the loss of a home for God by focusing on teachings by rabbis in synagogues. God was the God of the Jewish people, even in the diaspora. The Christians dealt with the destruction of the temple easily because we had our understanding of the incarnation, which really harkened back to God as nomadic. In the first chapter of John's Gospel, it says, "The Word became flesh and lived among us." Surprise, surprise, lived is the word for pitching a tent or tabernacling. The Word was made flesh and pitched a tent among us. And we have seen this glory, the glory of a parent's only child, full of grace and truth. That is the glory of the incarnation, having God with us as one of us. Jesus is not confined to a stationary stone temple. Jesus is truly with us, even when we're on the move with God. Christianity also swept away the issue that the successor of David would reign as king over Israel. Jesus fulfills that prophecy that a descendant would reign forever, because Jesus reigns as king, and even king of kings. But he reigns gently. His rule is put into perspective when he calls his followers friends. Jesus doesn't think of us so much as subjects and himself as a king. He reigns by relating to us. Indeed, Jesus is God with us. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. We are the temple of God. I shall fear no evil because God is with me. So the shifts in culture lasted, integrating the best. We are at home, but we wander too as we follow Christ. God is our king, but also as a friend. God is at home, but that home is in us. Someone on Wednesday asked me what I was preaching about, and I told her, God's open mind, because God changed God's thought on a matter, listening to the people. She said, God having a mind? That's awfully human, isn't it? I responded, isn't that the point? God makes decisions and changes God's mind, and we should follow God's example. Not that we should waft in the winds that shift in the times. We are not sheep without a shepherd. But when the shepherd is on the move, the sheep better keep up. And I believe that God is on the move. God is drawing forth creativity and the huge surge of entrepreneurs, creative writers, poets, and artists during this pandemic. God is leading us through. We are survivors who are enduring and surviving. I mean this as a people, a species. We have survived. We are secure enough in who we are that we need not be threatened or shamed by our forebear. We can face the truth, for example, about race. God is on the move, leading us to ask questions and listen to each other, all of us, including people of all different colors, including the people with rednecks, those who've been suppressed by white supremacy, people afraid now, and people who have never had to worry about race, like me. We are learning our family histories. I mean the real story. Where I live, for example, was Nipmuc and the Pocumtuk tribes' land until they didn't live there anymore. Through all these shifts, our relationship with God grows. And God grows as new, God shows us new things about ourselves, and God sets us free. That is, if God is on the move and we are able to keep up. Amen.